Well, hello and welcome back to the Sensory Reform Podcast. Zach Wise here with you again, pastor of Ascension Reformed Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. And we are continuing our series in the doctrine of Christian hospitality and still looking at the New Testament letters or epistles to understand how central and important hospitality is to the Christian life. It's not some fringe doctrine. It's not something that is given only to some Christians who would have some supposed spiritual gift of hospitality, but rather it is the calling of all Christians to show love to one another and also to love enemies. And a key manifestation of this love is the extension of hospitality. Last week, I introduced the first three of six theses on this topic and doctrine in Christian practice. And today we're going to consider the final three theses I have for us. To remind you of the first three, thesis one is that hospitality is central to our love for our brothers. Thesis two, hospitality is central to our love for our enemies. Thesis three, hospitality should be the normal practice for the normal Christian. Now, beginning the ones for today, hospitality protects our spiritual unity in Christ. That's number four. It protects our spiritual unity in Christ. Number five, it is dishonorable to neglect hospitality. And thesis six, where true hospitality is lacking, division takes over. So let's begin with number four. Hospitality protects our spiritual unity in Christ. I'm thinking back to a text we have reflected on a fair bit already, but it deserves more comment. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. We should note, obviously, that hospitality relates to love. That's very clear here. But not only that, but to the covering of a multitude of sins. Recall that the context here is that Peter is teaching the Christian how to live in light of Christ's second coming. How do we conduct ourselves in our minds and with our actions? And one key way of conduct in Christian practice is to love by way of extension of hospitality. That is how we show love, is to show hospitality without grumbling. Within this, however, we should note that that's central to this is that love offers us special blessing that covers a multitude of sins. Now, as we think about the idea of sins being covered in the biblical text, we think about how the covering of sins is related to the removal of wrath. To cover sins is, you know, we might think of Psalm 32, and that David celebrates that God has covered his sins. In other words, God will not punish him. God is no longer angry with him, with wrath toward him, because sins have been covered. And this is a common way that the Bible speaks about the forgiveness of sins, is by speaking about sins being covered. And so I think that what we should understand here is that loving one another and showing hospitality to one another, it has the effect of putting away interpersonal sins. It has the effect of removing the possibility, the potential of interpersonal enmity. If you're regularly having someone in your home, if you are having Christian fellowship with that Christian brother and sister, and that's happening on a regular basis, then there will be far less possibility and chance of there occurring some sort of enmity between one another. However, if one withdraws oneself away from Christian love and Christian hospitality and that mutual exchange of hospitality, then there's a possibility, an opportunity for the devil for a certain interpersonal sin then to manifest itself and to become a real issue that can divide Christians from one another. So our first thesis for today, which is thesis four, hospitality protects our spiritual unity in Christ. It covers a multitude of sins. Thesis five, it is dishonorable to neglect hospitality. I'm going to note a few verses here from the what were often called the pastoral epistles. That's when Paul writes to fellow pastors, Timothy and Titus. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, Paul speaks about hospitality in the context of addressing elders in a church, and he writes, "Therefore an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach." So notice there that the elder is called to a position of honor in a church, and one of the qualifications for such an esteemed position of elder is that that man must be hospitable, showing hospitality to others. If one is not a hospitable man, he may not enter into that office of elder. Titus 1 verse 8 says something very similar, talking about who may be admitted to the office of elder. One must be hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Again, this is even though it's a command for all Christians, this also means that one cannot be a leader in the church unless he is observing that command and practicing hospitality regularly. A third place we would turn is to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, that a woman may be admitted into a position or enrolled, this is kind of the language used, to be enrolled into a position where she can receive church support, but she must have a reputation for good works, 1 Timothy 5:10. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. If she has done those things, then she may be enrolled and receive then financial aid from the local church. One of the key criteria there is that she has shown hospitality. If she has not shown hospitality to the fellow Christians, she may not then receive she may not be a recipient of the church's hospitality through the benevolence and mercy funds. Of course, many other things could be said about that verse, but we'll focus there on how a lack of hospitality would disqualify a widow from receiving church support. So, thesis five, it's dishonorable to neglect hospitality. Our final thesis for today and for this consideration of the New Testament epistles, thesis six, where true hospitality is lacking, the vision takes over. Here I'm thinking about two particular books in the New Testament, not exactly individual verses, but two books, 1 Corinthians and also the letter of James. If you think about 1 Corinthians, you're thinking about a people, a congregation that was divided along earthly dividing lines. They were separating over things that earthly people separate over. You have, for example, the rich versus the poor. You have also within that congregation people who would say, hey, Apollos is my guy. No, Peter is mine, or Paul is mine, or I'm just a Jesus person. And so you have these divisions also about spiritual gifts and who has which spiritual gift and who's better than another. But I think here, if we think about that division between rich and poor and how it was manifest, that the rich at the time of the Lord's Supper, they were enjoying a great banquet and filling their stomachs with food, while the poor in the congregation, they received nothing, and they went home hungry. So this failure to welcome one another to their tables with one another even began to be manifest then inside the church and in divisions within that church. Now, it should be noted that the banquet that they were observing then was not merely the Lord's Supper, but there was a common practice in the first century to have an earthly meal together that then would be almost paused when the Lord's Supper was then being administered. And so even in that context, there was an opportunity for hospitality if people in a sort of a potluck kind of enterprise would bring food, and the rich then had ability to bring much food, and they did bring much food. But the problem was that the rich brought much food and only the rich ate that food. They did not share that then hospitably with the poor. The poor sat there, they were unable to bring much with them, and they sat there with their lack, and they observed the rich eating their plenty. And so there was a lack of hospitality there, and then it manifests itself also then in the Lord's Supper, and then with great divisions within the church in Corinth. A failure to show hospitality led to division. The book of James says something very similar. There were places of honor that were given then to the wealthy who walked in, who were dressed in fine clothing. They received seats of honor, positions of honor. They were praised. But then the poor Christian would walk into the assembly, and they would receive then a place of dishonor, being instructed, "Sit at my feet," rather than being given a place that was respectable and esteemed, where it should have been the other way around, if anything at all, to give the poor the place of honor and instruct the rich to sit at one's feet. Of course, seating that's all equal is preferable, but the point being that they were dividing themselves along earthly lines. Similarly, when a poor Christian brother or sister lacked food or lacked clothing, there were plenty, according to James, who were well-wishing. "Oh, we hope you find help. Oh, may you be blessed." But they did not show one another practical help. They did not care for their Christian brothers and sisters. And so, in the Epistle of James, we see once again very clearly that true hospitality was lacking. And so, in those contexts, division took over. So, our three theses for today. Thesis 4, hospitality protects our spiritual unity in Christ. Recall how it covers a multitude of sins. Thesis 5, that it is dishonorable to neglect hospitality. And thesis 6, where true hospitality is lacking, division takes over. And so, before we move on to some more practical matters in the upcoming weeks, just a note, hospitality is not some fringe practice. It is at the heart of Christian love for one another. It's at the heart of how Christians ought to love our enemies. The failure to show hospitality is connected with divisions in the local church. These things can tear a church apart as sin can fester and as earthly divisions become manifest and bring about spiritual divisions. Hospitality that's shown without grumbling is a loving practice, though. It's a unifying practice, is a protective practice, is a practice that covers over the possibility of enmity, because we sit down with one another, we eat and drink with one another, and as we sit across the table with someone who could be a stranger, we restore and encourage fellowship, and then we affirm that our Christian brother and sister are indeed family with us. I hope this has been another helpful episode on the practice of Christian hospitality. Do reach out if you have any questions about this or have ideas for future episodes. We would love to hear from you. Once again, this is the Cincy Reformed podcast. You can find other episodes at cincyreformed.org. Check out our church, Ascension Reformed Church. We do not yet have our new website up and running, but you can still find us at westsidereformed.org, and soon that will be ascensionreformed.org. Thanks and have a great week. Bye-bye.